Well, 1 week ago to the day we celebrated the very Feast of the Holy Innocents, and the Church, of course, required the priest to wear the violet vestments as a sign of all of the sorrow for the martyr children's mothers. And today is the octave day of these saints, and the priest is today to wear the color red to honor the blood of these holy children, the infant martyrs, who not only suffered and died for Christ, but suffered and died in place of Christ. Now, you all remember, many of you were here last week for this sermon, you remember the incident of the brutal murder of these children. Herod was led to this by his jealousy because he knew he was disliked by many of the people in the country. He always felt that his throne was in danger and that someone would come and take away the throne from him. And so when he had heard from the three magi that there was a new king, a little infant born in Bethlehem, he again felt threatened that this king would come and take away his throne. And so through jealousy, Herod ordered that all the male children 2 years and younger in Bethlehem and its neighboring villages be slaughtered. And it says that the soldiers again came on their horses and all of that. And they quickly surrounded all of Bethlehem so that no one could get out and began slaughtering the babies who fell under that age group of 2 years and younger. Well, St. Augustine once gave a beautiful sermon on the Holy Innocents, and he gives us an idea of just how terrible an event this was. And I'll quote a few things from his sermon. He says, "There sit the mothers, weeping over their little lambs, their children. These sweet pledges are not mere things entrusted to their care. They are the children of their own wombs. They are pledges, but they are not given. They are cruelly stolen from them. The mother tears her hair, for she has lost her beauty in losing her baby. Oh, how she sought to hide the little child, and the innocent one betrayed himself. He knew not how to be silent, for he had not yet learned to fear. The mother struggled with the executioner. He seized her child and resolved to murder him. She clung to him, resolved to hold him to her bosom. 'Why,' she exclaimed, 'why separate me from my child? I gave him birth, and I fed him untiringly. I bore him in my arms with fondest care, and thy cruel hand has dashed him on the ground.'" And then he says that a second mother was there and bade the executioner to take away her life as well, and together with that of her child. And he would not, and she cried out to him, "Why dost thou send me away, having slain my son? If there were any fault, I only could be guilty. If there were no fault, then let me die with my baby and rid me of my wretched life." And then a third said, "What is it that you are looking for? You are in search of one, and you slay so many, and him who is the one you cannot find." And a fourth said, "Come, O Savior of the world, how long shall people look for you? You fear no man. Let these soldiers see you, and so not slay my child." Now, there were also some parents in the group who took this incident a little better. Some of the children that were murdered were children of the shepherds who came that Christmas night to see the infant Jesus in his manger. But these shepherds had a bit of a more supernatural outlook on the whole situation, for they had already seen Christ. They knew just what their children were dying and suffering for, and so they accepted all of their sufferings, the loss of their children, as a great mercy from God. Now, as the shepherds had gone to the stable and saw Christ, so they could see their sufferings in the proper light, and so too with us. We have now seen our Lord. We have received all of his doctrines. We have received all of the light from his Sacred Heart. We now can be just like those shepherd parents, and we can see all of our sufferings in the proper light. But today, the infant Jesus, in his Sacred Heart, he calls us to himself. And he calls us to use all of our crosses, all of our sufferings, to our own spiritual advantage, and he offers us all of the consolation. Now remember, when we say consolation in the spiritual life, we don't necessarily mean these good and pious feelings that you get, the feelings of comfort, but consolation means to strengthen a person. And certainly the Sacred Heart of Jesus will strengthen us in all of our sufferings. Now think of the sufferings of these mothers of the Holy Innocents once more. No suffering can be as great as that of those mothers who watched their little children being slaughtered before their own eyes. And yet in their case, they did not have the same consolations that we have. You see, the source of our consolation was for those mothers also the cause, in a certain sense, of their pain and their sufferings. These mothers lost their holy innocence so as to protect the source of our consolation, who is the Christ child. But we, in the New Testament, get to hear the words of the Sacred Heart, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will refresh you." He is truly, the Sacred Heart is, our consolation in sufferings. The good God led the Jews in the Old Testament by his justice, and he leads us by his mercy and charity. We all have our crosses. We all have our temptations. All of us here today have our sins, but still our Lord says, "Come to me, and I will refresh you." He means to console us. Now, we spoke on New Year's Day of all of the resolutions that we should make this year to sanctify ourselves and to sanctify each duty, one after another, and take them as they come. So also this may be applied to our sufferings. Take each cross, each trial, as it comes, and sanctify it, and resolve firmly to do this. Now, to give some practical advice on how to sanctify your crosses, remember a few things. To do this, we must first of all remember that each trial is a grace from God, which was made perfectly suitable to you, not to someone else, but to you, and for your good. And this trial was seen by God from all eternity. It was molded just for you. And it is this trial that you are going through now that will get you to heaven one day if you sanctify it. We must remember, secondly, that out of every cross, the good God will draw an even greater good for our own spiritual life and for our benefit and that of many other souls around us. We must then, thirdly, remember to unite all of our crosses and sufferings and pains with the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, offering it up to the Almighty as our own little sacrifice, which then will be rewarded for all eternity in heaven. We must then remember not to give up. Some crosses go on and never seem to end, but we must persevere to the end of each trial, patiently enduring everything in union with the Sacred Heart, just as our Lord patiently and perseveringly trudged up Mount Calvary until the very end of his life. So must we do every day of our life. Throughout every cross, we must persevere. And when we feel that we're growing weak, well, then, we must accept our Lord's invitation. "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will refresh you." He is asking us to come, not for his own sake. He wants us to come to him that he might strengthen us and console us in all of our crosses. But remember, finally, that all will pass. And may the Holy Innocents and the Sacred Heart of Jesus help us always to see all of these truths with regard to sufferings. Ask them to open our eyes in the midst of our trials and to accept our Lord's invitation, the invitation of the Sacred Heart. "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will refresh you." Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.